I'm Adam.
And I'm Mike.
Welcome to The Dad Experience,
a podcast where dads can connect
and openly share stories.
Here's what to expect on this episode of The Dad Experience.
So he just got up just by himself, like he's like third grader, second grader, so he's a little guy, and he just starts grooving to the music. Like, you know, like they say, dance like your eyes are, like with your eyes closed, you know? But everybody was like looking like, what's gonna happen here? Is somebody gonna tell him to sit down? Is he allowed? And none of the teachers told him to sit down. He just grooved that whole song.
The Dad Experience.
Welcome to another episode of The Dad Experience. Very excited about this episode. I am actually a huge hit in my house right now because my daughter has been listening to Brady Reimer's albums, his new latest album, Under the Big Umbrella, and she thinks it's the coolest thing that I'm going to get to talk to him. But a little bit about Brady. Brady was a RCA recording artist with the jam band For Good Homes, where he toured with the likes of Dave Matthews Band, Bob Dylan, and Bob Weir's Rat Dog. He then shifted gears and started creating and releasing family-friendly music. His first album, Good Morning Gus, was released in 2000, and since then has created 10 CDs, including 2017's Grammy-nominated Press Play, 2014's Grammy-nominated Just Say Hi, and 2008 Grammy-nominated Here Comes Brady Reimer and the Little Band That Could. Like I said earlier, he has got a brand new album out, Under the Big Umbrella, which is now available, and he plays with his band, The Little Band That Could, with music for kids across the country at performing arts centers, concerts, outdoor concert venues. He's also been featured and contributed to many other social projects. A really cool one here with First Lady Michelle Obama's Let's Move campaign album, Songs for Healthy America. He also created Love Me for Who I Am, which is inspired by his experiences working with and kids with autism, Asperger syndrome, and other related disorders. So we're really excited to have him on. When he's not playing with his band, he plays bass with the Lori Berkner Band, and he plays still some shows with From Good Home. So welcome, Brady. That's an amazing bio, an amazing background, and some of those guys you get to play with are some of my heroes. So welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you very much. It's great to be here, Adam.
Yeah, so we always like to start our show off with who lives with you at home. What's the makeup of your household?
Well, my wife, Bridget. First of all, I live out in Long Island, New York, in a town called South Hold. So with my wife, Bridget, my 22-year-old son, Gus, my 20-year-old daughter, Daisy, and one and a couple-month-year-old puppy, Georgie girl.
All right. So you have a new album, Under the Big Umbrella. What was the inspiration of this album, and how did it come about?
Yeah, well, it started about a year ago. We got a call to be part of Lincoln Center's month-long celebration of families living with autism, and it was called the Big Umbrella Festival. And I just had this feeling, I'm like, wow, what a beautiful title. And I immediately thought, well, it could be a song, but I don't want to force it. We'll see what happens. You know, we were doing some shows there for schools, and we were part of a concert there at Lincoln Center. But sure enough, the song Under the Big Umbrella came out, and I recorded it, and I played it for them, and they loved it. So we used it there. And then we had some more Love Me for Who I Am shows that month where we go and play for schools that are inclusive and schools with special needs. And we just had some amazing shows that month, and kind of one thing led to another. And I got this feeling that here we are under the big umbrella where the schools and the students really want acceptance, and they're talking about diversity and a place of unity. And it just kind of started there. And then I started working with some schools, and they were sending me lyrics about different is beautiful and you do you. And so that got the ball rolling, and certainly helped define a subject of what was in the air in this time of divisiveness and what I was seeing at the schools.
Oh, right. And that's really cool that you kind of took that experience of being in the schools and creating music. Now, were all the songs that were on the album, are they all driven original music, or is it more creative as a band, or where did the ideas come up with for the individual songs?
Well, this one, mostly, it was mostly, the ideas were mine. And then also working with the schools, getting some lyrical ideas. And then for this record, I also thought it'd be cool to, I was thinking of some other cover songs that kind of had the same themes and delivered this, delivered similar kind of messages. So that's why there's Diana Ross's I'm Coming Out. And Woody Guthrie's great old song, Don't You Push Me Down, where I'm singing a duet with Sonia De Los Santos, and she translates part of the song in Spanish. And then I have a new friend over in the UK, David Gibb, who makes wonderful music for kids and families, David Gibb, that is. And I just did a tour with him. But anyway, I thought with a little help from my friends, would be a great cover. So we did that. And then I've always loved Jimmy Cliff's You Can Get It If You Really Want, just about having the positivity and trying. And, you know, that's that, that. So those songs kind of just spoke to me because of the, like I said, of being in the schools and being around these kids in this environment. And then the other songs were just mine that were just kind of, you know, kicking around, I guess, and thinking about this idea.
Yeah. And, you know, kind of to elaborate on that from your own creative ideas and what you create, do you think that any of your music that you've created, lyrics or even the music, has it come from any of your own parenting experiences or things that you did with your family that maybe you incorporated into your music?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. That's where it started. I was playing in a rock band, and then next thing I know, I'm singing songs like with the word nest and father and home and utero. And I'm like, these aren't songs for the rock band. And this is when my wife was pregnant. I'm like, well, these are songs about my son that's going to be coming here soon and being a parent. So it all started there, and I always loved the story of, I heard, you know, Woody Guthrie would sit in his living room in Brooklyn and just sing with his kids, just, you know, during the day, and I kind of felt like that when I was off of the road and just being able to be at home and being around my kids. And then as they got older, we just, you know, I just kept writing with them and about the experience, you know, songs like Taking Our First Road Trip or... the first time that my son ran up to the mirror and lifted up his shirt because he had a big old belly from dinner, but he was just so proud of that. He was just so proud of himself, you know? So yeah, it's all around. And I love, you know, seeing it and being inspired by it. It really makes the job easy.
Yeah. And, you know, you mentioned too a little bit at the beginning here about going into schools and kind of feeding off the energy of the kids and the teachers and just kind of giving them, empowering them with the music. Why do you think creating and sharing music for children is so important? You know, I'm a music educator, so I'm a firm believer that music should be in every school and should be in every home, and we should be creating and letting our kids create all the time. But what have you seen in your experience one-on-one being a recording artist and a touring artist and being in and out of these schools day in and day out? What is kind of the common thread that you notice when you share music with kids and teachers, and mainly, especially kids?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that immediately comes to mind is just how it brings everybody together. And like that concert that I was talking about that inspired Under the Big Umbrella. I mean, you have a big gymnasium filled with kindergarten up through fourth, fifth grade, and also with the special needs kids. And once the music starts, everybody is, everyone's the same, and they're singing, and you know how good it feels to sing. And they're experiencing songs that are like been considered and written through their eyes and maybe reflecting on their world. And they can say, yeah, I feel like that too. And it's just this positive vibe, and they kind of get permission to express themselves. They're seeing somebody else express themselves, playing an instrument, doing something that they love. I mean, you know, you could just kind of go on and fill up the pages about why it's good. But those are certainly things that I love and about a great, and schools are great because, you know, the teachers have worked with them and they're great and we get them the music beforehand, but they're in a safe place where they're allowed to be open and expressive and they can have some fun.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's so neat to see that, isn't it? When the kids that are different, they can express themselves, but even if they're at different ability levels or, you know, in different places in their lives, I've seen it all the time. Not within just even my school, but within just going to concerts or wherever I go, seeing kids of different abilities be able to relate in this universal language that really doesn't always have to be based on ability all the time. You could have a musician or somebody that's creative and be such a high functioning individual and be able to create. And it's so exciting to see that they can just do these things without any barriers or any, you know, anything holding them back.
One show I remember, you know, you start off and the kids are all sitting down and everybody wants everybody to sit down, you know, but I just started playing this one song, Just Say Hi, and it's kind of funky. And I remember this one boy out of the sea of all these kids sitting like crisscross applesauce, and he just got up just by himself, like he's like third grader, second grader, so he's a little guy, and he just starts grooving to the music, like, you know, like they say, dance like your eyes are like with your eyes closed, you know. But everybody was like looking like, what's gonna happen here? Is somebody gonna tell him to sit down? Is he allowed? And none of the teachers told him to sit down. He just grooved that whole song, and then eventually, like, one other kid got up, and it was just pretty amazing to see.
That's always a great feeling. I've been when I was first starting out in education, right after I finished my degree, I had a small band that we just took around. We were just a cover band that we took around, and we decided, hey, you know, we're all teachers. Let's go see if some schools want us to come and play at an assembly or award assembly. And when those kids would get up and dance to I'm a Believer, and I think this might be just after Shrek came out, or just it might have even been before, which I think it might have been before, which is even cooler that they loved the tune. But it just to see them just get up and just let loose and just have a good time. And even the teachers, I mean, they were all dancing, and it's just so fun to see them all on the same level, to see what music does to people. Yeah. It's crazy.
I know. And you know, they just feel so good. They're allowed to do it, and they're allowed to, you know, just get goofy and show what they got. And
Awesome. Yeah, it's fun. It's fun too. And you know, it's, you know, when kids are appreciating music for what it is, when it's a good piece of music, I mean, it doesn't matter if you love who it is or what the artist is, or you may not love the artist, but you can just really understand why it's good and why it's a good piece of music. And that's when it's fun to see, like, everybody can kind of be like, wow, this is pretty, pretty amazing stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is a good place for us to take a short break. Don't forget that the Dad Experience is a part of the Parents On Demand Network. You can get our podcast on their app, which you can get at the Google Play Store, as well as the Apple iTunes Store. Stick around after this episode to hear about another great parenting podcast that, if you love the Dad Experience, we're sure you're going to like. Stick around after the break. We're going to talk more with Brady. We're going to talk about his new album. We're going to talk about the different outreach that he does and all the great things and how you can find him. Welcome back to the Dad Experience. We're here with Brady Reimer. He is a recording artist, a family artist. He also tours with on occasion with for more adult themed music, but been having a great conversation so far. We're going to pick it right back up. So we talked about before the break that you do a lot with education. And I read in some of your bio that you do a lot of outreach with education and different organizations. Why do you think it's so important for us to reach out to those folks that may be in different organizations to kind of support what they're doing, and kind of how you utilize your music to reach, you know, all those different aspects and different people?
I think with the music, like, we get them the music beforehand, and they really make it their own, and I feel like it gives them a voice and builds their self-confidence, you know. And they're just really, really excited to have these opportunities. And I don't know if they get a lot of those to get together. And it's kind of like what we were talking about before, a chance to just kind of get everybody together and kind of get a communal fun, happy spirit, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think for them to see somebody up there playing and singing like that, I mean, so many times people come to you and say, yeah, I play guitar and I write songs and I have this and something, and then sometimes just make up songs on the spot with them. I think it's inspirational as well for them.
Right. And I read that you work with, or you've worked with the American Speech Language Hearing Association. Can you tell us a little bit about the organization, how you got involved, and why it's important to educate folks on our importance of our hearing and protecting of hearing and all those great things that the organization does?
Yeah, we just did a couple of shows with them. So it was really, really nice. I mean, it was short and sweet. We didn't work with them that long, but we were on this Listen to Your Buds campaign, where it was a campaign directed towards, elementary schools and how important it is to take care of your hearing, especially in this day and age where, you know, it's a loud world to begin with. And then when you're putting in your earbuds and you're playing your iTunes and your games and all that stuff, and you just really don't know, how loud some things are and the dangers of it. And so we did some just really, really fun concerts and had some fun, singing songs about maybe how loud things are or soft. It was really nice to be a part of that and to kind of, talk to the kids about that and say, listen, take care of your hearing,
Absolutely. I teach band, and obviously the marching band stuff can get really loud. And I marched in college, and I was not a smart kid when I was in college. You think, I don't need this, don't need hearing. I haven't really lost any hearing, but I never wore ear protection. And I'm like, so I try and tell my kids, did you wear ear protection? Did it take a while? I know you started touring probably before, I was performing before we really had a lot more education and before we were always plugged in with headphones. I mean, that's not part of my generation, but, and I'm assuming not yours, but even just going to louder concerts or going to different louder events, but you being a performing artist, was it something that, when you're going out on these bigger tours, is it something that they encourage to help protect hearing and, way back when you started or, because I know when I started in just a lower level, it wasn't really like something that's like, you need to wear hearing protection, from our directors or from our band directors, from even when we were performed in nightclubs or whatever. Was that something that was on your radar?
Well, not initially, no. And you're right. And it's good that, they are bringing things like Listen to Your Buds and to the schools to just educate people. Because even something as being in the band, which is a fun thing to do, but when you have all the brass and you have the drums, everything around you, it might be too much for some ears. But, then what happened in the modern performing world is the earbuds started, like the in-ear monitor started to... And that's a good way of protecting your hearing because you have control over how loud you want it into your ears. I've been lucky. My hearing is good, and I started playing rock and roll with my buddies when I was like in sixth and seventh grade in the garage, like a good old garage band. Mm-hmm. And I guess we were never all that loud, but still you got to take care of it. And I do use hearing protection now from time to time. Yeah,
that's good to hear. And what else is neat that I've been noticing? I don't know if you've noticed, your kids are a little bit older, but I'm assuming it was still, still within this realm, but they're creating a lot of headphones now that are geared towards children that have like regulators on them. So they can listen to their music and they can turn it up really loud, but it has, a filter on it or whatever that keeps that volume level, which is great. The technology that's added, like you said, the in-ear protection for performing musicians. I mean, I use that and it's so nice, not only for my hearing, but for your voice too, because people don't realize you got to protect your voice too, because when things get louder, your voice gets louder and then you put more stress and strain on it. And it's just an all around thing. And it's so important to start educating, I feel like, being in the music world is a profession for education, that it's so important to educate the kids earlier, because everything is done in this like little space now. It's they're on their screens with the headphones in when they're not, interacting, and it's like they're always doing that, and it's like it worries me the prolonged effect that can have, because they're not always aware if they're not getting it from their parents or their mentors to, hey, keep it down. You may not believe me now, and kids are going to be kids still at the end of the day. But it's so great that like you said, that it's coming out more, that more organizations are kind of saying, hey, this is an important thing to think about.
Yeah, and they'll even, and another one of the good things about the ASHA and the Listen to Your Buds, they stress like you know, downtime. Like, now it's time maybe for some human interaction or just some talking or some listening or going out in the woods. And, you know, so trying to, you know, say, well, they don't, you know, the buds don't have to be in your ears for forever. You have a limited time, you know, when you should use them.
Right. And I think too, we've as a society as a whole too, and I don't know about what your thought on this is, but I think with the advent of, you know, computers playing music and phones and these little speakers, we've lost some of the aspects and the nuances of the music that was there from like the late, you know, mid to late 70s, 60s music, when they would put it on vinyl, where you'd hear maybe a triangle in the background of a, you know, of a Beatles tune, let's say. But then when you get it into digital form, you lose some of those things when it transfers over, because it's just being overproduced and compressed into, you know, into these systems. So it's maybe some of that'll start coming back too.
Yeah, no, you lose the space. You're absolutely right. You lose this beautiful space that was in the recording. And I've always liked to try to, and that's one of the things I always loved with kids' music. You know, a lot of times, you know, one of the great things is that there really aren't any rules. So you can make an acoustic record, or you can do this or that. But I've always loved to just try to maintain some of those production values of, like you said, a Beatles record or The Dead or, you know, whatever it might be. But do it for kids and for families. So it's been fun to kind of consider that and say, well, you know, let's put a triangle back there. Let's put a this or that there. Let's really pay attention to this production, because a lot of times I'll hear from a teacher, like one teacher just said, oh, thanks for that that new song Under the Big Umbrella. She says, I love the güero in there. And that's for everybody, you know, it's a percussion instrument. It's a Spanish little, it's like a little, you know, like a stick hitting some slots. It's going like right. That. And she said, I did a whole class on the güero, you know? So thank you for including that, you know? So anyway, I guess if you hear it, just put it in there, find a nice spot for it, and someone will.
Right. No, it's interesting to be able to pull those aspects out. And for, I mean, there are those instruments that they probably have never seen. You know, I still have students that, percussionists especially, that'll come up to me and go, I don't know what this instrument is. And it's like, oh, okay, I know what that is. And then they realize that it may just not, you know, we're not using the Americanized name for it in the composition. Yeah. or it's just some instrument that they've never heard of. So.
Right. And it's important, because, you know, a sound is evoking a feeling or an emotion or something. So it's there, and I think it's kind of exciting to do things that way, and it's great to hear that the kids and the teachers are listening and hearing it.
Right. So you talked a little bit too at the beginning of the episode of how you have a CD called Love Me for Who I Am, which is an awesome album, a great piece of work that celebrates kids of all abilities. What made you want to get into that, and why did you bring that to the masses?
Yeah, well, I have a friend out in New Jersey, northern New Jersey, Sussex County, and she was a friend all the way back when I was playing rock and roll music with the grown-up band. And then she started a school for kids with special needs. And when she heard I was doing kids' music, you know, this is back in like 97, 98, she said, come on out with your guitar. And I said, well, what am I going to do? She said, no, we're just going to have fun. We're going to jam. So I came out there, and sure enough, we just had an amazing afternoon. She had just started the school. It was actually a summer camp. And then, and I just loved the kids. I loved the environment, the teachers, the way they responded to the music, just how much fun it was, and the energy. And then I just kept coming back year after year, a couple times a year, and just playing concerts there, and her school kept growing. And then about, I don't know, 5 or 6 years of just playing at the school, I had started to make a relationship with the kids as they grew up, and with the teachers. And after one concert of playing, you know, my own stuff that we've been releasing with CDs, I said, you know what, these guys need their own songs. Like, they need songs that try to look look at the world through their eyes, that they can like hold their fist up and say, this is me, you know, this is my anthem. And so I asked Monica, the director, and the teachers and the students to just throw me some ideas, some song ideas, and I got a ton of them back. And one of them was specifically from this girl who said, you know, please don't try to fix me, just love me for who I am. And so that became the title. And then we, I just started, when I got those titles and I had that, still had that energy from all that, that last concert and just loving the place so much and the connection, the songs just kind of poured on out. And so it was a real kind of portrait of that school, but also in a bigger universal way of looking through the eyes of these kids, and maybe also showing us how much we all have in common, actually, because we all know a picky eater. We all know someone who feels uncomfortable in their shoes or their certain clothes they're wearing, or they don't like change, or they just, they need a big hug. So that's how that project happened. And it was really, it's been just really rewarding to see it used in other schools as well, and to go back to that school.
Right. So, you know, you've got a lot of experience. You know, I talked about your background at the beginning before we started the interview. And, you know, I'm curious, and I'm sure our listeners are curious too. You've performed all over, you've performed with some great acts, and you have some great music from your adult band. I listened to a lot of that. And what has been your most rewarding experience to date musically, would you say?
You know, it's kind of a cliche answer, and it's a simple one, but it happens over and over again when you make that connection with the audience, with the music that you're making. And it kind of like you start, and the music starts with you, then it goes out to the energy goes out to the audience and the connection, then it comes back to you, and it keeps going back and forth, and you're kind of experiencing time as it's going, and you're making this connection and this really lovely positive energy. And when that happens, there really is kind of, I don't think there's anything that's really kind of replaces that, you know. There's been, I mean, to be able to work with the musicians that I play with has been incredibly rewarding. To be able to be working with my wife by my side, she does a lot of things with me, and having my kids involved in what I've been doing for over, you know, for almost 20 years now with the family music has been incredibly rewarding as well. So, but when you make that connection with your fans and the families that are at the shows, it's a really, really special.
Yeah. Thing. Yeah. So we have a reoccurring segment on the show, things we can't wait to see through our children's eyes, or things we've experienced again through our children's eyes. It may be something you're looking forward to. It may be something you've already experienced, but something that takes you back to a memory that maybe when you were a young adult or even a child or whenever, that you couldn't wait to experience again and see through your children's eyes, or experience again through your children's eyes. Is there something out there that when you were raising your children or are raising your children that you couldn't wait to see them experience and kind of relive that feeling again?
Yeah, I that's such an interesting question. I don't know. I'm thinking about this, and we used to take a lot of road trips when I was growing up, and I really loved that. You know, I love just, I don't know, the feeling of traveling with your family and traveling and seeing new places and meeting new people. And I think looking forward to taking road trips with the family. The first one we took was out your way towards Michigan, out to Cleveland, and my kids got to meet their great grandmother before she passed in Columbus, Ohio. So our very first road trip was really meaningful, you know, to see great grandma and the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
You can't miss that.
But so that's definitely something that, you know, my wife and I couldn't wait to kind of experience again with our own kids. When you asked that question, one of the other things that popped in my head was the day that I think my daughter was roaming around the house, and I still have LP records, and I still have a bunch of my old albums, and one of them, I was a big Kiss fan, so I had Kiss Alive. And I remember as a kid, I just loved that record, and I actually loved the cover. I would just look at it. It just seemed so wild to me. And then I looked over, and I saw that through all the records, 50 of them, she was just looking through, and she found that one Kiss record, and she was looking at it the same way. I was like, and she had to put it on, and it's like, I hear, you know, Detroit Rock City. And it was like, she's like, her mind was blown. So it's like, well, I guess, you know.
It does. That's a really neat story. That is really something special. That's awesome though, you know, and to kind of, that's exactly what this, the whole, my whole thought of this idea of getting that from other folks is hearing those fun, heartwarming stories that, and everybody's a little bit different, but that's so special to share that. And hopefully that'll continue, you know, hopefully that album will make its way someday, you know, that when your family gets bigger, even more, hopefully down the road. And that's such a neat story to hear.
So we're
before we close out the show here, we'd like to give you the opportunity to let people know how they can find you, how they can find you on social media or on the internet, and then maybe where they can find out about concert dates, as well as how they can get your albums, and just find out more about you.
We have our website. That's where all the stuff is. A lot of stuff is there. BradyReimer.com, and we put a lot of time and energy into that. We have some really cool blog posts. We just did a new blog post about me working with my buddy David Gibb over in the UK, and you'll find all the tour dates there and a ton of videos. Yeah, 2 years back, we put out a holiday CD and all original holiday songs, and we did a video for almost every one of the songs. So there is a lot of video content on there as well, and that's the main place. I mean, we're very active on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter, and you can just search Brady Reimer and the Little Band That Could on those platforms with Mom and Dad, and you can subscribe to our YouTube channel. Once again, lots of cool videos up there, and it's pretty simple that way. The new album is out and available everywhere. You can, under the Big Umbrella, and it's on Amazon, iTunes, and you can stream it on Spotify, and we're on Pandora as well if you want to listen that way.
Great.
Call me up and I'll drive with you in your car. I can sit in the back. I can sing. If it's bath time, I'll just sit in the corner. You know, bedtime.
Can you come to Detroit and do that for me? I'm sure I'd be a huge hit.
I'll come to Detroit. Like I told you before, my brother-in-law lives real close to you, so. So we'll get him over.
Nice. But in all seriousness, we will put all that information in our show notes so that folks can find all your stuff. And I'm telling you, to our listeners, that go out and get this, the music, the album, check it out. It's great music. Our kids, and our family love it. My older daughter is just in love with this latest album.
What's your
My oldest daughter's Eleanor. My youngest is Lucy.
Yeah.
My oldest daughter is 2.5, and my youngest is just about a year and a month.
All right.
No, they
so
do. They
great.
Do. They love the album. So check his stuff out. And don't forget that the Dad Experience is part of the Parents On Demand Network. If you want to get a hold of us, have a question for myself or for a guest on the show, you can email us experienceanddad@gmail.com. Find us on most social media. You can get to all of our stuff through our website, thedadexperiencepodcast.com. Thanks so much again for joining us on this episode of The Dad Experience.
Proud member of Parents on Demand, a network of high-quality shows for families just like yours. Download our free network app on Apple and Android and listen to your favorite episodes on the go.